This is just Somebody say praise the Lord.
Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Isn't it good to be the house of the Lord tonight? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see him in church tonight. Praise the Lord. What a privilege it is to be in the house of God. Play a little bit more of that. Say hallelujah. Well, it's so good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, isn't it? Had some tremendous, tremendous services here over the weekend. How many of you enjoyed the word of the Lord? Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, it's just camp meeting every time we come to church. I praise the Lord for that. Let's look at our prayer request tonight. If you'll stand with me just for a few minutes. Brother Mike Walls wants us to remember his grandfather, Brother James Walls. In prayer, he's been admitted to the hospital tomorrow for some observations due to his heart only functioning at 25%, has not been feeling well for the last several weeks. So we certainly want to pray for that need as we pray tonight. Also remember Amy Crescane and her family in prayer. The Lord knows all about the needs there, just tremendous needs. And we're asking that you would remember those folks in prayer tonight. Now, Sister Phillips gave me this, just a tragic note here just a few minutes ago in regard to a situation. A friend of my son's that he went to school with, who now lives in Florida, flew home to Hazard, Kentucky yesterday for the holidays. On the way home from the airport with her parents, a drunk driver crossed the line and hit them head on, killing her and her husband and her mother and her father. Also killed the drunk driver. Please pray for all the loved ones that they left behind. We just commit that need unto the Lord. We know that we're just in Satan's Eden, and we're not immune to anything, but we know that we're serving a God that loves us. And aren't you glad for that tonight? Praise the Lord. Kristen Wiggins sends us in to please pray for Sherry Wiggins. She's at home very sick with symptoms of a sinus infection, so we want to remember that need tonight. I've got a neat note here in regard to Brother Youssef, and multiple sources are reporting that Brother Youssef was arrested on Christmas Day. He is currently serving the remaining 40 days of his three year prison sentence. He was released on bail on September 8, 2012, which was with 45 days early. The court has decided that he must serve the remaining time of his prison sentence. I ask that you would pray for him and his family. Also pray that the Iranian government does not decide to bring additional charges against him and keep him in prison for additional time. May God bless you. Jason DeMar sends that in, so we just commit that unto the Lord tonight. Ask God to be mindful to that situation. I want to pray for Sister Laura Krause. She's having problems with vertigo. The doctors ran tests today and are running more tomorrow to try to find the cause, so they're asking that we would remember her in prayer. Please continue to remember Sister Barbara Gerber from Louisiana in prayer tonight. The Lord would be mindful of her. Please pray for Brother Tom Horniak. He is sick and able to be in the service tonight. Just a lot of needs among us tonight. Sister Wanda Batman says, I would appreciate being remembered in prayer. I need a healing touch from the Lord. Thank you, and may God bless. I want to pray for Brother Baker. He's having blood pressure problems. Also pray for his daughter, Sarah, that God will intervene in her life and give her comfort. An unsigned request, but we just commit this son to the Lord in need of a spiritual help. Cause a lot of family situations and things that we won't go into, but this person just asking for spiritual help, that the Lord would be mindful of him and help him in his dire need of at this time. A lot of sickness tonight. You have an unspoken prayer request you'd like for this assembly to pray about. We know we're serving a God that's bigger than all of our problems, don't we? You love him tonight with all your heart. Somebody say praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, looking around and seeing Brother Paul LaFontaine here. I think they're going to be singing for us here just in a little while. Brother Paul, would you mind to come and pray over these needs tonight? Let's just commit all these things unto the Lord. We're certainly glad to see Brother Paul and his family here tonight, aren't we? Amen. God bless you, brother. Certainly many important needs here tonight. And whenever we have it, it just touches our heart, but we know it touches the heart of God as well. So let's just approach his throne tonight for these needs. Won't be able to remember them all, but our God does. Can you say amen? Our Heavenly Father, we just approach your throne tonight, Lord, with faith, believing that your ears have heard these cries as well, Lord. Lord, Scripture says you know what we have need of before we even ask. But nevertheless, we want to ask you tonight, Lord, to be mindful, Lord, of these things that have been read, Lord, and these needs and the sick, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that you'll intervene for each one of them, Father, particularly this family that's lost their family, Lord. In this car accident, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you will be a counselor to them, that you'll be a guide to them during this time, Lord. Losing their family around the holidays like this, I just pray that you'll be near them, Lord. We pray for the young sister, Kirchain, as well, Lord. It's been in the hospital. Lord, such a need there, and I just pray you'll help her mind and her spirit, Lord. Bring her deliverance, Father. Calm her spirit. I just pray you'll bring her back, Lord, to a sound mind. Help her, Father. Give her strength during this time, Lord. Give her healing for her spirit. Lord Jesus, these other ones that's been mentioned, that's been sick, Lord, and needy and different things. People, Lord, looking for direction and different things, Lord. Step in each of these situations, Lord, and be the mighty God. Lord, throughout the ages, we've known you to be that. But, Lord, we don't want to just look at a God of history. These needs, Lord, they need a God that's now. They need a God that's present. So I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would just step in, Father, and minister to each one. And everyone who raised their hand tonight with a need behind it, we just commit it to you now. We put these in your hands and believe with all of our heart that you're a mighty God that can meet each one. We commit it to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Everybody said amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Ushers, if you'll come at this time. We'll receive the evening offering. If you're a visitor here with us tonight, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have each and every one of you here. Trust you'll enjoy the service tonight. Those that are streaming this service, may God richly bless those folks as well. Let's sing a song tonight. He came looking for me. Aren't you glad that he found you when he was looking for you? Praise the Lord. Let's sing a little bit of that song tonight. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Let's sing that song tonight. He came looking for me.
One night while on life's raging sea, it looked as if I would suffer defeat.
Jesus appeared and said, this one is mine. I'm safe with no harm. Cause he walked through the storm. He came looking for me.
You're just singing so good tonight. I ought not to let you quit, but I'm going to. We've got a lot to go on here tonight. You can be seated. The Lord bless you. Brother Paul and his family, I don't know how they have that arranged, but they're going to come and give us some songs here just in a few minutes. Sister Laura Johnson, where is she at? I probably won't even recognize her. Is she here? Lord have mercy, she's grown up. She has a song for us tonight. Is that right? Would you come at this time? That's Brother Brad and Sister Molly's daughter. Now, most of you know that, but now she's just a little girl when she left here. They're living in Arizona. Let's give her a nice hand as she comes to sing for us at this time. Certainly glad to have her in the service with us tonight, aren't we?
Amen. Well, God bless you all. It's so good to be here tonight. This song has just kind of been on my heart lately, and it's just kind of my testimony, so I pray it's a blessing to you all. In my moments of fear, through every pain and every tear, there's a God who's been faithful to me. When my strength was all gone, when my heart, it had no song, still, he was faithful to me. Every word he promised is true. What I thought was impossible, I've seen my God do. He's been than mercy I see. Though in my heart I have questions, then failed to believe, yet He's been faithful, faithful to me. When my heart it looked away, the many times I could not pray, still He was faithful to me. The days I spent so selfishly, reaching out for what pleased me, still He was faithful to me. Every word He promised is true. What I thought was impossible, I've seen my God too. He's been faithful, faithful to me. Looking back, His love and mercy I see. Though in my heart I have questions, even failed to believe, yet He's been faithful, faithful to me. Though in my heart I have questioned, even failed to believe, yet He's been faithful, faithful to me.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Good to be here tonight. I've already appreciated that song, and Brother Brad's daughter singing it there. It's such a true lyric that he's more faithful than us, isn't he? Yeah, He's always faithful, and we appreciate Him so much. Amen. It's good to be here tonight. God bless you, and we're just stopping through for Christmas time with the family again, and also have a meeting here this weekend going on with some young people over in Newport, Tennessee. So we just ask for your prayers while we have that retreat down in this area this year. Unfortunately, we just have enough room for the campers. We don't have the space here to have visitors in for the services, but we would ask for your prayers for the 200 that are registered, that God will deal with their hearts. And I just ask who could just remember some prayer for the weekend, that God will bless the meetings. We're certainly looking forward to it, that's for sure. Amen. A flat, brothers.
I'm not a prisoner anymore. My stolen joy has been restored. He broke the chains that once held me. Yeah, the Son has made me free indeed. Oh, freedom to worship, freedom to praise, freedom to walk in His freedom ways, freedom to sing, freedom to dance. I have been given a second chance. I'm not going back to the enemy's kingdom. I've tasted freedom. His love destroyed the cage of sin. Yes, with just one touch, I'm new again. No longer bound by anything. Oh, each day I will let freedom ring. Yeah. Freedom to worship, freedom to praise, freedom to walk in His freedom ways, freedom to sing, freedom to dance. I have been given a second chance. I'm not going back to the enemy's freedom. I've tasted freedom. Oh, freedom to worship, freedom to praise, freedom to walk in His freedom ways, freedom to sing, freedom to dance. I have been given a second chance. I'm not going back to the enemy's kingdom. I'm chasing freedom. Freedom to worship, freedom to praise, freedom to walk in His freedom ways, freedom to sing, freedom to dance. I have been given a second chance. I'm not going back to the enemy's kingdom. I've tasted freedom. Oh, freedom to worship, freedom to praise, freedom to walk in His freedom ways, freedom to sing, freedom to dance. I have been given a second chance. I'm not going back to the enemy's kingdom. I've tasted freedom. I'm not going back to the enemy's kingdom. I've tasted freedom.
Hallelujah. How many's tasted freedom?
Oh, His love destroyed the cage of sin.
Let's sing it again now.
Just one touch, I'm new again. Yeah. No longer bound by anything. Yes. Each day I'll let His freedom ring. Oh, sing it with us. Freedom to worship, freedom to praise, freedom to walk in His freedom ways, freedom to sing, freedom to dance. I have been given a second chance. I'm not going back to the enemy's kingdom. I've tasted freedom.
Oh, freedom to worship,
freedom to praise, freedom to walk in His freedom ways, freedom to sing, freedom to dance. I have been given a second chance. I'm not going back to the enemy's kingdom. I've tasted freedom.
I'm not going back to the enemy's kingdom. I've tasted freedom. Yes. Hallelujah. It's the chorus Solomon wanted to teach you tonight.
God will
that would lie. Yes, He will come through.
Hallelujah.
He's not a man that He would lie. He will come.
Sing it with us now. No weapon formed. That tonight, no weapon
shall prosper.
Hallelujah. Yeah, it won't work.
It won't work. No weapon.
No weapon.
Against me shall prosper. There is none like You.
Sing it with me now.
No one else can touch my heart like You do. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like You.
Let me hear you sing it now.
There is none like You. No one else can touch my heart like You do. Yeah, I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like You.
One more time. Tell them one more time.
There is none like You. None like You, Lord. No one else can touch my heart like You. find, there is none like you.
Oh, I love him so much tonight. I appreciate what he's done in my life. Give me that key of Jeeva here. I know this song has been sung quite a bit, but it has a great lyric. I wanted to sing it tonight before our brother comes.
Lily of the valley, let your sweet aroma fill my life. Rose of Sharon, show me how to grow in beauty in God's sight. And fairest of 10,000, make me a reflection of your light. I pray day stars shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Let your love shine through me in the night. Lord, I see a world that's dying, wounded by the master of deceit. And they're groping in the darkness, haunted by the years of past deceit. Hallelujah. Oh, but then I see you standing near me, Lord, shining with compassion in your eyes. In your eyes, I pray day stars shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Somebody sing it with me. In the night.
Oh. Hallelujah. Shine on me, Jesus, shine on me. Let's stand and sing it together. Let the light from the lighthouse, oh, shine on me. Shine on us, Lord Jesus, from the lighthouse, shine. Shine on me, Jesus, shine. On me, Jesus, shine. On me, let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. The Lord a hand tonight. It's good to be in the house of the Lord and worshiping. Hallelujah. Lord, we adore you. Thank you, Father. Amen. Brother Donnie asked us to introduce Brother James Rozak tonight. He's assistant pastor of Brother Eugene Braun from Edmonton. And he has relatives in the area here as well as I do. And he also will be speaking for us this weekend at the retreat. And I just mentioned it to Brother Donnie, who's gracious enough to let him come tonight. God's still raising a mighty army, a fivefold ministry. And we've appreciated our brother's ministry the last few years here. We've heard him and appreciate him and his stand that he makes and the quality that God is raising, not only of how someone can minister, but also the quality of character that he's raising in the ministers as well. And we appreciate that so much, and we're glad to be a part of it. Amen. God's not going to let his bride be suffering. As long as we go into this darkness, he's always going to be shining the light. We just need to ask him to shine it on us tonight. His word is light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. When we hear the preaching, it's light shining on us in the midst of this darkness. I don't want any darkness in me. Can you say amen? Amen. It's too dark out there, and I don't want any part of that. I want his word to have full access to my life. So let's sing that again. Shout at me and welcome our brother James Rozak tonight and just give him full liberty to go, give what God has put in his heart. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. Shine on me, Jesus, shine. Oh, let it shine on us. Let the light. One more time. Lord, shine on me. Lord, shine, shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. Lord, shine. Shine on me, let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. Amen. If we could just bow our heads tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight we're so thankful for your loving grace, Lord, for that light that shines upon us. Lord, just so grateful in this hour when there's so much darkness around us. Lord, that we have a place that we can turn to, Lord, and in the times of the valleys, Lord, through the wilderness. And Lord, there's a voice that cries out to us, Lord. And we're so thankful to have ears that can hear.
hearts that can receive, Lord. And tonight, we just ask that you'd be the minister tonight, but that you'd set aside a weak vessel, Lord, and Lord, that you can use this body of flesh, Lord, to speak to the hearts of your people. Lord, I'm visiting. I don't know the people here, Lord. I don't know the needs that are represented. But Father, you know the hearts. Lord, you know the needs. Lord, you know the desires of the heart. Lord, I ask, Lord, that tonight you can minister to your people, Lord, your children. Lord, asking this, Lord, in your name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's take our Bibles. We'll just turn right away and get right into the Word. I'll do a little introduction after, but if we could turn to the book of Mark and the first chapter. Amen. The Lord is good, isn't He?
Amen.
Amen. Mark, the first chapter, and we're going to look at verse 9. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan. And straightway, coming out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him." Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the word, and you may be seated. So thankful to be with you tonight. I was surely not expecting to be speaking, but sometimes when you travel into a land and people know you're here, and Brother Paul graciously let Brother Donnie know that I was in the area. And so we're going to be speaking at, I think Brother Paul mentioned, we're going to be speaking at the youth retreat that's going to be happening. I don't know if any of the young people here will be there, but we're looking forward to it. I'm Brother James Rozak, if you didn't catch my name. I don't think I'm known too many places. I'm beginning to travel a little bit. And it's interesting how the, wherever you travel, you know, there's kind of a web of family, I guess you could say. You know, I've been privileged to travel with Brother Jackie Benton. We were in Poland together a few years ago. It's probably been 5-6 years now. I don't even know. 5 or 6 years ago, we got to travel with Brother Jackie, and sure love him. And his son is married to my wife's sister. So I'm so I have the Benton family to call my own family, and I'm so thankful for that. We sure enjoy coming and visiting when we do. And you know, there's just people that you come across in life. The Phillips family, who I don't know if they're here tonight. I don't see them here, but I've slept on their floor. And when they were living up in Edmonton in that area, we've had many years where we fellowship together. When I first came in the message and I was a young Christian, they played a big part in just a young man trying to find his way as a Christian. And so, you know, it's just so interesting. The Hickson family is here as well, and I don't know if they're here tonight, but of course they're from Sister Rachel's from Edmonton, so it's so interesting. We have family wherever we go, isn't it? Isn't it true? When you have the same spirit, and you know, you just be able to travel and fellowship, and it's just a wonderful thing to be part of the family of God. Amen. Tonight I'm just gonna take a little thought, and I try not to be too complex or deep on a Wednesday night. I know people are tired, and well, it's Christmas, so I'm sure you've been relaxing a little bit with your families. But I'm going to take a thought, which I'm calling the blessing of loneliness. Kind of a different kind of thought, just taking a perspective on. Sometimes we look at certain things, and we have a perspective, and sometimes we look at certain things that happen to us, and we count them as being negative things. So often in our human perspective, we see a negative thing happening, and yet in the midst of that, that's the very thing that God is using to bring a blessing, to cause us to grow, to show something more of ourselves or of Him that we need to know in our Christian journey. And I believe we're in a season where, you know, I know most of you are no doubt aware of the things that are coming against us and the things that we're being challenged with in this day. And, you know, even in that, you can look at it and say, well, this is a negative thing that's happening, but from my perspective, this is a wonderful thing that's happening. Because you know that it's not a time for playing games. It's a time for knowing who we are and where we stand and what we believe. We need to have a relationship with Christ. We need to know who we are in Christ. You know, and if it takes some shaking to bring that out, then let it shake, you know? Because everything shall be shaken, everything will be shaken. But we know there's a people, there's a word that's going to stand. So so even in our personal journey, and you know, the kind of speaker I am, I'm kind of funny. I'm here in Happy Valley, and I've traveled many places. Brother John Sacker, I got to travel with him. I know he's went on to be with the Lord, but I got to travel with him to Korea, and you know, going to different places. And you know, one of the things that I always say when I travel is, the very first thing that when I preached my very first sermon, there was my pastor said to me, he gave me one piece of advice. He said, Brother James, he said, I only have one piece of advice for you. He said, don't act like a preacher. And I honestly didn't know what he meant. I just thought, you know, when you have a picture in your mind of what you're supposed to be and what you should sound like, and I don't know, as a young man, I had a picture in my mind of what I was supposed to sound like. And I've learned, Brother Bram said, you know, he said, just be yourself. He said, God likes you better that way. And he said, people will like you better that way. And so when I travel, I apologize to the people, especially when I go down south. I tell them, you know, I'm from Canada. and I tell them, and I'm not a Donnie Reagan preacher. I don't have a Donnie Reagan voice. That's what I always say. I wish I did, I always say as well, but I'm just gonna speak, I'm gonna just relax into being myself tonight. And I like to get to the heart of people. And that's the way I preach, and that's the way I deal with people. I have an affection for young people especially, because I look at the outward appearance of things, and sometimes they look so good sitting in church even. You know, we're sitting in pews, you come to church with the same people week after week. You know, you have friends that you come to church with, there's people you fellowship, you go into their homes, you shake hands, you have fellowship over meals and Christmas time, families get together. But you know, what I'm beginning to learn is sitting in the pews right next to you could be somebody who's in the middle of a wilderness, in the middle of the deepest valley they've ever gone through, and they don't know how to communicate that. And part of it is because we preach outward appearances so often. There's something in us that doesn't want to appear weak. There's something in us that wants to, you know, to look like we're standing strong and serving God. But you know, I'd rather someone be honest. I'd rather somebody be honest in their heart. And if you're going through a valley, if you're going through a dark patch, if you're going through the wilderness, and I'm talking about the blessing of loneliness tonight, and really what I would like to look at is going through the wilderness. Amen. Because I'm going to show you tonight how the wilderness is actually a necessary phase of a Christian journey. If there's no wilderness, there's no blessing. Amen. And so for the times when you're sitting in those dark places, tonight I'm just going to encourage you. Because there's a blessing in loneliness. There's a time when God needs to get you alone. There's a time when he needs you to even be sitting there in your pew, just feeling like you're all by yourself and nobody understands. And there's got to come a time when you stop playing games and you start listening to the voice that's speaking to you. And just coming service after service after service, sometimes it's, you know, it's funny. In the company of a church service can be sometimes the loneliest place. Because around you, you're hearing people say amen and praise the Lord and hallelujah, and you're sitting there and you got no hallelujah inside. But you also have no way to reach out. Because you don't, you know, it's a fearful thing to put your hands in, or put yourself in the hands of a living God. Just get down and be honest and just say, you know, I'm not feeling very good right now. I'm not feeling very close to God right now. But I'd rather somebody be able to do that. Amen. But so just looking at this, I read from Mark 1, and we just had Jesus, a story where here he is getting baptized, and straightway, the very first thing, after this glorious thing happened, he's getting baptized, and straightway when he comes out, and we see the Spirit comes down, and this great scene of the gospel takes place. And the very first thing is we find he's driven out look what it says, he's driven out by the Spirit.
Right.
Into the wilderness. See, again, so often we don't have these visible things that happen. We don't have this great booming voice that speaks and tells you what you're about to go through. But sometimes you find yourself in the middle of a wilderness and you didn't have that affirmation or that confirmation, that big spiritual event to let you know what's happening. But it could be, I would say more often than not, the Spirit of God is driving you into that wilderness. Because something's got to take place in the wilderness. And going into the wilderness, we see right away Jesus goes out there and he's tempted of Satan and he's with the wild beast and we could go through all the things that happened and how Satan tempted him with the kingdoms of the earth and all those things and to perform miracles and whatnot. And at the conclusion of that, I want you to just see what happens. It's the very conclusion of everything is, and the angels began to minister unto him. And so if you can understand in just this little snapshot, I like in Mark 1 here, it doesn't explain what happened. It just says he went out into the wilderness 40 days, was tempted of Satan with wild beasts, and then the angels ministered unto him. Now in the process of time, it feels like sometimes that wilderness lasts forever. But if you could just summarize it, so often it's just like this. You're serving God, next thing you're finding yourself out in the wilderness, suddenly you're finding yourself being pressured and temptation and the things of the world and whatever it is that comes in, you know, it comes in so many forms, all these things coming against you. And then next thing you find yourself being ministered unto by angels. And what I also, you know, in the season that we're in, I think it's becoming more and more imperative for you to understand that your association, in your Christian experience, your associations really, they don't define you as a Christian. Because this Christian walk, I think any man who's been journeying on a Christian journey for years, you'll find it becomes a more personal, more personal, more personal. You start off, I remember the first time I came to church. When I came to church, honestly, I was just so thrilled to be there because there was all these people that I felt like for the first time I could be myself, and here there's all these beautiful Christians, you know, wholesome, pure, clean, and I was just in the middle of this mass of joy, it felt like. My heart was just overflowing, and here I was thinking that, you know, my journey was just going to be like this the whole time, and suddenly in that time of overflowing, I don't know if you remember the first time you came to church, or some of you may have grown up in church your whole life. I didn't have that blessing. I was 21 years old when I came to the Lord, and when I was 21 years old, I had just come through the most depressing times of my life. And so when I came to church the first time, it was like I was in an oasis. But it didn't take long. It didn't take long where I realized it's not going to stay like this. It's not going to stay like this. And you know, and the years go and the years pass, and I could probably look down. Look into the faces of each one of you, and I can say that for as easy as it is sometimes to hide in the midst of a congregation, God's not going to let you hide in the midst of a congregation. He's going to want to deal with you personally, one-on-one. And this journey, you're going to see this journey is going to become more personal and more personal as you go. And it has to be that way. It has to be that way. Because God isn't coming for a church. In the sense that, you know, I used to think that too. It was an idealistic thought that I'm sitting in and I look around the church and I think, well, we're all just going to heaven. We're just all gonna, and it was a very sobering and almost it was a sad thought actually to think. But I realized that I don't know what's going on inside of, I could look at faces. I don't know what's going on in your heart, brother, sister. I could go down the pew. I could go down and looking, and I would want for this to be a church event where we all go. But I understand you're on a personal journey, each and every one of you. And this is kind of the point of what I'm getting at. It's not a fearful thing to realize that. Whereas at one point it was a sorrow to think that brother, when you begin to hear things that Brother Brown said, you know, three kinds of believers, that bothered me actually at first. You know, I didn't want there to be three kinds of believers. I didn't. I didn't want to know that there was somebody sitting on the bench next to me that, you know, his heart was a million miles away and he had some kind of private life and maybe he didn't even believe at all. Maybe he wasn't even serving God at all. Maybe he didn't even want to be here. And I can look again through the church and I can know that there's three kinds of believers. And that bothers me. But at the same time, it has to be. And that's okay. And some of you are sitting here this evening and you're in the midst of a wilderness. And you're going through a time where you feel very alone. And I want you to know, don't be afraid of that, because there's a blessing in that. So let's kind of look at some of these things. You know, when Abraham, I often thought this, when Abraham went up with Isaac, and he knew that he had to go up and there was something that he needed to do. And he went up there all by him, just him and Isaac went up, and he knew that, but he had faith because he said he's going to return with the boy. But even going up, when he went up and he met the Lord up there, and the Lord provided, Jehovah Jireh provided that ram. When he came down, you know, if somebody had watched him go up and somebody had watched him come down, well, the way he went up seemed like the way that he came down. What happened up there was a very personal thing. He could have told the story of what happened up on the mountain, but as far as somebody just watching, he went up and he came down. You know, and sometimes those things that happen to us, they're very personal. Somebody can watch you come into church, leave, and come back, and leave. And they don't really know what's going on inside your heart. And that's where you realize it's such a personal thing. And it becomes a lonely thing because your testimony, and you all need to have a testimony. But it's a lonely road getting to Christ. I'm just going to read a quote here from Brother Branham. He said, imagine seeing a lonely pilgrim rejected of man. A man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, accused of being a devil, a mind reader, a spiritualist, coming walking along misunderstood. But he was God's own son. And he's here tonight, and he's here right now with me. He's here with you. He knows all things, and I know nothing. And he can make all things known, can't he? But you see, just the way he's described as a lonely pilgrim, rejected of men, this is speaking of Jesus. A lonely pilgrim, rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, accused of being a devil, a mind reader, a spirit. All the things that were said of Jesus could be said to Brother Branham, could be said to you. You begin to realize, you know, people can speak. People can say whatever they want. They could look at Abraham and think he was crazy for going up the mountain and saying that this phenomenal thing happened and God met with him and promises were given and he came down and he could say what happened, but you know, when it comes down to it, and people might even think he was crazy for what took place. Jacob wrestled with the Lord, the angel of the Lord, and there, what happened, the Bible said that he was alone. He was alone, and what took place there, you know, no one was there to see it. And so many times, the victories that are won, they're won when you're alone. In fact, I will even say this, it always comes down to you being alone. Because it's just you, when it comes down to it, it's just you and Jesus. It's just you and Christ. That's it. It'll always be you being alone. So don't be afraid of being alone. Don't be afraid of those times. Genesis 32:24 said, and Jacob was alone. And the road to every promise. I want you to, this will run true if you look at the scriptures. Just think back to the scriptures. The road to every promise passes through the wilderness. Think of Abraham's journey. Think of the time that he spent journeying through the wilderness. Look at Moses. Look at the children of Israel all the time. Look at Jesus. He went out into the wilderness. You look at all the men of God that went out into the wilderness. The wilderness was a place that God dealt with men. It's not a fearful thing to go in when you have your perspective right. See, so often we count it as a negative thing to be in that valley. You see it as such a negative, hard thing, and you begin to even get into a depression or a despair, and you're not seeing or you're not listening for the voice of God, not recognizing that God could be dealing with you. He needed to get you alone. He needed to get you into that place. He needed you into that wilderness. He needed you there. But if you're not looking for him, you'll be thinking, well, this is terrible. I'm in the wilderness and I'm all alone. And nobody understands me. No one hears me. And
Amen.
The wilderness. The Bible uses two terms when referring to these phases or these events or times when people have to go out. It's the desert. So often the scripture will refer to as the desert. Or the wilderness. And I'm going to show you a few places here. The wilderness, if you look at go back into the original text and look at the meaning of it, it means solitary, lonely, desolate. used of places, used of persons, deserted by others, deprived of the aid and protection of others. You know, there's nowhere to hide. There's no one to turn to. You know that, when you think of that, that's when God can deal with you. When you've got nothing to hide behind. You see what happens in the wilderness though, is people start to get nervous. And what do they start doing? Look, you'll start getting nervous when you're in the wilderness. I mean, there's examples. You look at the children of Israel and they're out there. They're in the place where God was leading them to bring them through to their blessing, to the promise. You get hanging out in the wilderness too long. You don't listen for the voice of God when you're there. And look what happens. You'll go one of two ways. You'll start looking back. Or you'll begin looking for what God is trying to do. Where are you leading me, God? What are you trying to bring me to? I'm ready to listen. If you've been in the wilderness for a while, there should come a point where you're sick of being there. Sitting on the fence is the worst place to be. Sitting in the middle of no man's land, it's the worst place to be. But believe me, I've been there. I spent way too long. Brother Branham said, between two opinions. It's the hardest place to be. It's the worst place to be, between two opinions. But there's a lesson to be learned. So Jesus being alone, Mark 1:35 says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. You look at the meaning of solitary, again, it comes back to that same meaning. He went into his own wilderness. That, you know, wilderness, it isn't like those Bible times where you're literally running through fields of dirt and sand and cactuses and, you know, tumbleweed. And it's not, it's a very, you know, you could be, it's a phenomenal thing. You could be surrounded by people and in a wilderness. Surrounded with people, surrounded by family, and yet completely alone. The wilderness is really, if you look at the types and if you look at the way, and Brother Branham even explained it this way. He said there's body, spirit, soul. If you look at the soul realm, that's Canaan's land. That's the land of the Holy Ghost. That's where God deals with the very deep inner man. That's where, that's who you really are in that soul realm. And that's where you gotta live out of the place of the soul. And that's the journey that you're going to. You're trying to get to that place of the soul. But in order to get there, you start off in the flesh. You start off as a full of sin, full of iniquity. The flesh represents Egypt. You're in the land of Egypt when you started. You're trying to realize that there's a journey and there's a calling, that's what happens. There's a calling in your life. It's calling you to come to a deeper place. And you know that deeper place isn't a church. It's a journey inside. It's an inward journey. That's why it becomes so private. It's because there's nowhere to go except inside to the very private, personal. Brother Branham said there's a door to this place inside. There's a door that separates that inner man from the outer man. There's one door to the soul. And he said that door is called free will. Free will. And you have that choice of what comes in to that place. Brother Bram even said that he referred to that painting of Jesus standing on the outside. Even Jesus couldn't make himself force his way in. See, that's where it gets so personal. It's because you're standing on the inside of that door and you could choose to open that door and let him in. But in order to go from that Egypt to Canaan land, there's something in between called the wilderness. And that wilderness is a journey we all have to take. And we may as well just resign ourselves to that understanding that we have to pass through a wilderness. We have to navigate through all those realms of our heart, our memories, and all the things that Brother Branham explained, those senses of the spirit and the affections of life and all the things that would come. And when you stand in that place of the wilderness, you'll have this desire to keep going deeper. To have a deeper walk, to have a deeper relationship with Christ. Or the desire will turn the other way and you'll turn back to the flesh. It's a simple visual, but if you can understand what's taking place in the wilderness, it's a place of decision. It's a place where God, He brings you there. He brings you there on purpose. He brings you there because you have a choice to make. Some of you are sitting in the wilderness right now.
Amen.
Right now. Here, there's so many times I can give you examples. I won't make you turn to these scriptures, but Jesus constantly fought to find himself alone. There's a place here I'm going to read you out of Mark 1:44. He said, And saith unto him, See thou, say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. Jesus sought to be alone. He sought to be alone because in order to really hear God, and this is an encouragement too, there's a point where you will realize that it's good to go out into the desert. It's actually good to go out into the wilderness. I say this so often to churches and to young people, especially young people in this generation, because you have so many distractions. You don't even know what it means to go out into the wilderness. You have no idea what it means to get quiet. Getting quiet is one of the scariest things, because you're left with yourself. You're left with yourself. If you ever take that journey to get quiet, getting quiet. Have you ever thought about that? How hard it is to get quiet? How many things, and I think that the devil played a real good trick on us. I carry this thing around. This is my beautiful iPad, which I must say I love. And I have a matching iPhone 5. But these things, they rob us of so much. They honestly do. For all the convenience, it robs us of so much. And I said this to the young people. I spoke at one of the weekends at Brother Paul's recently. I was in Russia maybe a couple, probably been 2 years now. I spoke at a convention in Russia there, and the young people, we had a young people service, and they were sitting in the service, and they were up in the balconies. And I could look up at the balconies, and I could see the glow. This is in Russia. I didn't think that they had all the devices. They have better devices than we have. They're cheaper there, I guess. I saw the glow of the cell phones on their faces. And, it robs us of so much. For as much as I love the conveniences, it robs us of so much. And you notice we can't sit still. I have that problem. I can't sit still without digging in my pocket, pulling out, just tapping a few buttons. And getting quiet is so hard. But getting quiet is so important. It's so vital to the Christian journey to get alone, to get quiet. It's so hard though. Trying to get away from the crowds. Another Luke 5:16 says, and you don't have to turn there again, but it says, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Jesus was always withdrawing himself. When he wanted to have a meeting with God, a conference with God, he would always pull away from the crowds, because that's where you need to go. I'll tell you this, in church service, sometimes that's the only place that some of you pray. And I'll tell you what, and that doesn't play down church, because we all know it's important, but I'll tell you what, the times when you'll really meet God isn't in church. Because in church, you could be spoon-fed. In church, you could be spoon-fed. You just show up at church and, here, preacher, feed me, church. Feed me, and you feed off of the energy, and again, you fit into the crowd. But that doesn't get you to the place where you're alone with God. And if you ever start getting alone with God on your own time, that says something to me. I'll even say this, that's greater than church. Because that's becoming something that's very personal to you. Because you're sacrificing your own time when you could be doing something to entertain yourself. You're sacrificing your own time to get alone with God. But that's so necessary. Especially in this day and age. You see, John the Baptist, even the time when he was, you think about this, mothers. He's just a young boy. I think the Bible said he was what, 9 years old? Can you imagine your child running off into the wilderness? But God needed him there. God needed him there to begin to groom him and deal with him and separate him. I couldn't imagine from that. But when God wants to take a man, he took Moses 40 years out into the wilderness. Out into the desert. And that's where he met the angel of the Lord in the bush. But he needed to take him there. He had to take Moses out of Moses. And the only way that that could happen is to get him alone, to get him away. That's where it happens. That's where it starts to get real. See, it's not a scary thing to go into the wilderness when you know that, in fact, there's a time when you might get drug out into the, you know, kicking and screaming out into the wilderness. You didn't choose to go there, but when you begin to see how God deals with people and how the changes come in your life, you'll begin to run out into the wilderness. You'll be like Jesus where you're saying, I want to get alone. I want to get alone. Reading from Acts 7:36, it says, "And he brought them out. After that he showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church of the wilderness." I love it how it says that. In the church of the wilderness with the angel when he spake to him in the Mount Sinai with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. It was in the church of the wilderness that these things transpired. Amen. The church of the wilderness. And all these things were given to Moses in the church of the wilderness to come back and to speak to it. You know, when your pastor, any man of God will find himself in the church of the wilderness. He needs to find himself alone with God. So that he can come back and bring the things that he's found.
Amen.
But that happens in the church of the wilderness. Right. Seeking after God in the private council. And every father and every mother needs to find the church of the wilderness themselves.
Amen.
Because your children are depending on that also.
Amen.
They need to see you feeding on the Word of God. Finding that place with God. You know, your children, this is the thing about families. I'm doing a lot of counseling these days. And I'm actually getting a lot of young people coming to me. And when they're coming to me, you know, it's a sad thing. But your children know. Your children know. Whether there's something real at home or not. And when I'm having children come in, young people, teenagers coming into my office. And they're beginning to recognize that what I'm doing is I'm encouraging them to get really honest. And I'm telling them, if you can't do that in church, come find me in private. I'll spend the time. I'll show you how to get into the wilderness. I'll show you how to probe your heart. I'll show you how to get there. And if that takes time, I'll take that time. And I'll show you how to go up there by yourself, so you don't need me. I'm spending a lot of time with young people in that way. And a lot of them are coming and they're saying, you know what? My parents, I've never felt loved by them. I've never felt loved by them. And all I have seen all my life is I've seen temper and anger. I've seen depression and bitterness. I've seen all these things just pouring out. And yet when they come into church, well, they got their hands in the air. You know, there's no hiding. None of us are exempt from this. This isn't a young people's meeting. This is a meeting for all of us. I don't care if you're an elder in the church. I don't care if you're a minister in the church. I don't care if you're a deacon in the church. Mothers, fathers, it goes down top to bottom. You need to find yourself in that place alone with God. There are certain things that you'll find in the wilderness. You'll find rest in the wilderness. You'll find spiritual growth in the desert. You'll find victory in the desert. Those things all take place. You notice, again, how God's people... There's a story in the scriptures in Acts chapter 8 where Philip was told to arise and go out. Go out into the south, into down from Jerusalem into Gaza. And the Bible says, which is a desert. Why? Was because there was an Ethiopian man sitting on his chariot. He went out into the wilderness. He stopped his chariot in the wilderness. And what was he doing? He was sitting trying to make sense of the word. He was trying to make sense. And Philip was sent to speak to the man. But notice where that man went. I don't think it's coincidence where you see these stories told and unfold, because it's a pattern that God obviously wanted us to see. And Philip ran to him, and that's where he began to speak and ask the question, "Do you understand what you're reading?" But the man was out in the wilderness. If you wanted to turn with me to 1 Corinthians. We're not going to be much longer here. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud that passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did eat all the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." It says, "Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink, and they rose up to play." You see, if you go into the wilderness, you have to keep your mind on the thing that... See, this is where you have to understand what the wilderness is for. Because if you don't, and you lose your focus out in the wilderness, if you just try to escape the lesson that you're supposed to be learning. You know, the best way to escape the wilderness is to do what it says here. They rose up to play. They rose up to play. That's quite a thing, because I know I've done that. If I look in my life, I know I've done that. Where you're in the middle of something, where God is trying to teach you, He's trying to show you something, and the pressure, because you perceive it as negative, because you're not listening, because you're not understanding that God is trying to do something, speak something, teach something. You know, the best way to get out of that is just to rise up to play. And they ended up following and chasing after pleasures. Things, their mind went back to Egypt. They started thinking, well, it was so much better there. I don't know why we're in the wilderness. I don't know what we're doing here. Let's just go back where it was easier. Let's go back to, and they still remembered that. Surely they must have remembered the chains and the whips. Surely they must have remembered the bondage that they were in. But so easy, if you're not willing to learn that lesson, so easy it is to go back. Even though knowing that there's nothing there but bondage. But if you will recognize the lesson, and you know what? I'll be honest, it takes practice to learn how to be quiet. And I'll say this to young people. Brother Brown, there's a quote that I love from Brother Brown. He said, you know, the way a Christian grows, he said, there's mushrooms that grow up in the forest and whatnot. He said, you'll go out into the mushroom, you'll see these mushrooms. As you're there the day before, you come out, those mushrooms, they weren't even grown. Right. And yet you come back the next day and there's this big mushroom. We had that problem back at our home there. We had this ring of mushrooms, and we knocked them down, and we come out the next day and there's these mushrooms. They were like, oh, they were so frustrating. We couldn't get rid of them for nothing. And I hate mushrooms. I didn't want to touch them. And But they just grow like that. But you know, I remember when we were trying to get rid of them, you literally could just kick them like that, and they just fall over. You barely touch them, and you didn't even feel them come off the stem, and you pluck them. See, they grow fast. So often that's what we want. We want to grow like that. We want it to happen just like that. Brother Bram said, I would rather you be like an oak tree than that mushroom. Oak trees take a long time to grow. But those roots, they go deep. So I want to make sure I paint the right picture. It's not just, sometimes you want to get out just like that. You want things to happen just like that. It doesn't always happen like that. Sometimes you need patience. And don't put pressure on yourself when there doesn't need to be that pressure. So you know, the Christian journey is one step at a time. It's footsteps. Just like them going into the land is footsteps. Footstep, footstep. Every footstep is a victory. It's land and it's possession. Just keep walking. Just keep walking. That's the best advice sometimes I can give. Just keep walking. I'd rather you be walking rather than trying to run when you're not ready to run. Just like my little boy, he's little Timothy, he's sitting in the back over there. Little Timothy, he's doing pretty good now. He's doing way too good now. He gets around way too much, but when he was a little guy, I didn't expect him to run. I surely didn't expect him to run, because if he tried, I know I'd have to be right behind him trying to pick him up. Sometimes you just have to get the picture right. You don't have to run right away. You don't have to grow up just like that. In fact, I always like to, I like the way the Bible even terms things. A new birth. Being born again. You know, when you get born again, you're like an infant. You're like a child. You need, everything becomes new. And everything becomes new means, you know, you got some learning to do. We have this false picture that suddenly you're going to be this image of perfection. The minute you have a born again experience, and suddenly you're just going to be perfection. And you know what? It doesn't quite work that way. You need to grow up. You need to grow up. And we need to give ourselves. I preach this back in church. Sometimes we have this. I painted a visual of a ladder. Sometimes us as parents or even pastors and leaders, we could be up on that ladder. We could be 20 rungs up the ladder, 50 rungs up the ladder. We're way up there. And you have a young one in Christ coming up. And we expect them somehow to get 50 rungs up just like that. We don't allow them to grow. The wilderness is a time of growing. It's an encouragement. It should be an encouragement to bring you. And if you're up there on that ladder and you're looking at somebody coming down or coming up and they're below you, you don't expect them to have necessarily the exact same fruits. But I tell you what, you encourage them. You show them the fruits of your life. You show them the fruits of and the blessings of what's there. Because you're encouraging them to grow up into Christ. Galatians 4:27, it says, "For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not." Speaking of a woman giving birth. Speaking of one who's barren. Somebody who's not in travail. They haven't been able to give birth of a child. But it says, "For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband." This was speaking of Hagar. This is going back to if you read the scriptures before, speaking of a comparison between Hagar and the promise that came through Sarah. There was a rightful seed that was going to come through. But you know, she had to wait. She had to wait. There was a promise that was given, but she had to wait patiently and earnestly. And in that time of being barren, no doubt that was a wilderness. That was a wilderness. But I want you to see how this is written in, if that's up. Yes. It says, "For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband." This is actually also referring to Israel, the Israel by the old covenant versus the Gentile church. The Gentile church had to wait a long time for their chance. But by the grace of God, we got our chance. And the Bible even says she'll have many more children. Many more children. But it uses that word desolate. That word desolate means wilderness. See, there's a blessing that comes out of the wilderness. What seems like desolation, what seems like barrenness, what seems like the trial of your life. When you're waiting for God to move on the scene. Yet in that desolation, there's a promise and an exceeding promise. That from that period of time in that wilderness, He can bring forth life. And this is the thing to understand. From the wilderness, life springs forth. And it seems like it shouldn't. but it does. He is the lily of the valley. He is the one who causes things to grow in dry places. You look at Israel itself. Israel shouldn't be as lush and alive as it is, but God's put His blessing on that. And around it, there's nations that are true deserts, lifeless. And yet God can choose when He wants something to grow from the wilderness, He'll cause it to grow.
Amen.
He'll bring fruit from something that's barren.
Amen.
Desolation is a lonely place. I'm just going to read a couple quotes here and then we'll just close. I love these quotes. Brother Bam said in The Mighty Conqueror, he said, if He can only get you to yourself once, if He could only get you away from the crowd, the pleasure-seeking crowd, if He could only get you away from the doubters that say the days of miracles is past, if He can ever get you away from the people that says there's no more feeling of religion, the heartfelt religion of our fathers bled on the battlefields, there's nothing to it. If He could ever get you alone one time and all your ideas shut outside, if He could ever get a group of people together like that, there'll be a repeat of Pentecost.
Amen.
If He could ever get a church like that, there'll be a revival that would sweep the nation. Get alone with Him. And while He was alone, the door shut, the world outside. He picked up some bread and He broke it, just the way He had done it. And they knew it had to be Him. And their eyes were open and they talked to Him all day. They fellowshiped. They'd heard Him preach along the road through the journey of the heat of the day. But when once alone, He made Himself known to them. I love that. When He gets you alone, it's like you're on that road to Emmaus. It's like you're walking down that and you begin to fellowship. And then what does He begin to do? He begins to break the bread of life. He begins to He begins to reveal Himself to you. That's where it happens. And their eyes came open. If He could only get this group of people at this hour, if He could only get you to a place alone where you wouldn't notice and say, I'm sitting by a Methodist this morning, or I'm a Baptist. See, you mustn't do that. You must shut the world out. Shut out the other people. You must walk alone with Christ. And if He ever gets you alone, then your eyes will come open and say, why? That was Him all the time. Then He will do something here this morning the way He used to do it and the way He still does it today.
Amen.
Another place He says, next thing, what taken place? He said, there was Lot. And when God said, separate yourself from everybody, the walk with Christ is an individual walk. You walk, you stand alone with you and God alone. Not you and the pastor, you and God alone. Not you and the deacon, but sometimes you and your wife, you or your husband, it's you and God alone. You stand alone on your convictions. Salvation is not a church affair. He said, it's an individual affair. Church is a gathering place where we come on one common ground and worship God. But salvation isn't because you've joined the church. It's because you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted Him as your personal Savior.
Amen.
You see, it's you and God alone. It's a personal walk. So I say this, don't be afraid of the wilderness. Don't be afraid of those times where you feel like you're all alone. And maybe you're sitting here this evening and you're feeling that. You're feeling like you're... And I'm finding that more and more. People will go the longest time sitting in church. I preached a sermon recently and I'm learning what it means to... I feel like I'm still a young man learning what it is to minister the Word of God. But I'm learning what it means to get to the heart of people. And I had six people in a service I recently preached at, six people come up to me after the service and said, I've never told anyone this my whole life. I've been in church since I was a little boy, and I've never, ever had a conference with God. I've never known what it was to have a relationship with God. And they came to me, and I was so glad they did that.
Yeah.
I was so glad they did that. But you know what? It needs to get to the point where you're sitting here alone. Don't... As my pastor says, Brother Eugene Braun, he says, don't waste the pain. Don't waste the pain of being alone. Because you could sit in church for years and years and years and be dying
and thirsty. Dying and thirsty. And why do you need to thirst? Brother Bram even said, church, why do you hunger? Why do you thirst? He said, it's the Father trying to reveal Himself to you. So don't sit in the desert and waste it. Don't go out into the wilderness and waste it. If you're out there all by yourself, that's good. But this is the thing you have to understand. The reason you're out there alone is so that you can meet Him. Amen. You'll find out once you begin to understand that you're not alone.
Amen.
You're not alone. I love how Brother Bram said simple little things. He said, you begin to think on Him. You just begin to think on Him. And He comes. You begin to speak about Him. And He comes. And that's where, if you're sitting in your car and you're driving, I'm learning this more and more. You're sitting driving in your car. Let's stand together if we could. You know, you could pop on anything. You could pop on the radio and listen to whatever you want. But that's the perfect time. It's times like that. You just turn off the radio. You know, you're a housewife. You're doing the dishes. The house is quiet. Your mind can go a million places, but you know, if you just take those times just to start thinking on Him, you'll begin to find that your thoughts go places. Next thing, you're having fellowship with Him.
Amen.
There's so many times where you're sitting alone, and rather than pulling out that phone, reaching into your pocket and pulling out that phone and playing some Angry Birds or waste hours. There was a statistic I heard recently. I can't remember, it was obscene the amount of time that people spent. Billions of collective hours. Billions of collective hours playing Angry Birds. Billions of hours. And can't spare one of those hours. Just to think on Him. Just to think on Him. It's just a simple message tonight. But these are the kinds of things that begin to change your walk. Make sense of the dry times. Make sense of those valleys. Make sense of the times when you're in the wilderness. And not to fear, but to understand, you know, He is. I love the song that I didn't get to see who the sister was that was singing. But He's been faithful. He's been so faithful to me. And He's still faithful today. He's, you know, He's so near and He's so real to us. I love how the scriptures say, you know, He's not far off. We don't have to say who's going to go off and find Him, who's going to go down to bring Him up. We don't have to do that. He's a risen Christ. He's alive and He's present. And He's nigh. He's very nigh even unto us. Just have to begin to speak. And He'll come. He'll come. Maybe we just bow our heads. We'll just close with a prayer. Precious Lord, I just want to say, Lord, how much I appreciate You tonight. Lord, I know I'm not a deep speaker. I'm not somebody who's going to bring something deep. But you know, it's these little thoughts that sometimes they're just so easy to wrap our hands around, and we can take it with us. And Father, tonight as this congregation is gathered and they've come out on a Wednesday night to listen to Your Word, Lord, I just pray that tonight, if there's somebody going through a time of need, Lord, a time of a dry spell, a time of being in that wilderness, Lord, and trying to make sense of it, just to recognize that they're not alone. But these times where they find themselves feeling weary, and Father, You're so near. I believe You're just a whisper away. And Father, I just pray that You'd encourage somebody tonight, Lord, as they're going through these phases and these places in life where they don't have to struggle as much as they did yesterday, Lord. But tomorrow when they raise up and they face the day that's ahead, Lord, that and maybe there's a voice that will come back to them and replay this thought that the wilderness isn't a scary place. It's a place where we get alone with You. And from the wilderness, there's been so many, the greatest blessings of the gospel have been read. We can read of the victories of Joshua and Caleb and Moses. We can read of the overcoming power that was brought to the children as they entered into the land of Canaan. as they came out of the wilderness. We can read of our own Savior, Jesus Christ, and the things that He did, Lord, as He went into that wilderness and wrestled and faced the temptations of the day, but He held true, Lord. And through that, Lord, look at the gospel that we have to preach even today. Look at the lives that are here today because of what Christ did for us. And Lord, if we have to be called to a wilderness, Lord, let it be counted as a strength to us. Let it be counted as a place of growing and uplifting and encouragement, Lord, just to be alone with You. Be with this congregation, I pray, Lord. I don't know the needs in the individual lives, but You do, Lord. And I pray that You'll minister to each one in their own private way, just as You always do, Lord. Be with their pastor, Lord, as he continues to minister and lead this congregation along, Lord. I just look forward to a day when we'll all be gathered around a table, Lord, to have fellowship and speak of the glorious things and the times that we endured, Lord. But it wasn't just a time of enduring, but it was a time of victory and overcoming. Lord, we're so thankful for this congregation. Lord, go with us, I pray, just as we bring this service to a close. We love You, Lord Jesus. We want to serve You with all our hearts. Go with us, I pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Mother Donnie, I don't know.
And he's been there in that wilderness time and time again. I don't want to fail him there, do you? I've learned enough about living for Him to know that if I fail the trial, that means I go back to the back of the line and start again. So, myself, I'd like to get these experiences under my belt and keep on going. Amen. I appreciate time alone with God. I've always been a loner, naturally, humanly speaking. So it's not difficult for me to spend time with Him. I love being with Him. I love talking with Him and thinking about His Word. But as our brother said, in this day when we've got so much gadgetry that's all around us everywhere, people are addicted to their phones. They're addicted to occupying themselves and entertaining themselves. And I've been studying this week, and Lord willing, maybe bring it to you this week, on the effect of prayer on the brain and how that the brain, under the Judeo-Christian faith, that whenever a person prays, it connects with the front part of your brain. Whenever a Buddhist or an Islam or these other types of religions, whenever they will pray, it does not contact the front part of their brain because they do not relate to God quite in the same way. But under the Judeo-Christian faith, when a person prays, it's the same part that you would be talking to your best friend. Now, this has been done by MRIs. You know, they've done thousands and thousands of these brain scans. So when people will pray in faith and they're believing they're talking to a person, it's the same reaction as if though they were talking to a friend. Amen. Not like the wind or the moon or something like that, but an individual, a friend. That's what He wants to be to you, children. He wants to be so close that He has fellowship with you. You appreciate the Word tonight? We certainly want to remember the meetings. It's that Brother Paul had mentioned before, and Brother James as well, that God will just be with them there. And many, many young people that will be gathering there. I think Brother Paul said maybe a couple hundred or something that they've got registered. So we want to just trust that the Lord will anoint the ministry and the activities and things that will be taking place there, that God will help them. I know that different ones I've been to myself, that young people go there and their lives get totally, totally transformed. Some of them come, no intention of serving God. They have no plans on getting nothing. And God says, wake up. You know, He just grabs a hold of them and shakes them and they leave and think, I didn't want this. He said, yeah, you did. You just didn't know it. So we want, I believe God still does that, don't you? I mean, ain't you glad He got a hold of you? I mean, if you wasn't seeking for Him either. But He got a hold of you and shook you and grabbed you. I believe He's still in the grabbing business where He can do something. So we want to pray for some real effects, some lasting things, that God would just be there in the meetings. Harry, let's sing together the song that you're playing. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. You love to get along with him like that. Brother Bim said a minister should come out in the presence of God that way, where he's been alone with God, not only for a minister, friends, but for you as a child of God, to spend that time with him. Lay your telephone down. Lay your cookbook down. Lay your recipe book down. Lay your hammer, your paintbrush, whatever you're doing, and spend some time with him. I was reading today, dopamine, and a person that speaks in tongues when they pray, there's chemicals that is released in their brain that is 10 times as powerful as morphine. Wow. It's a good reason to pray. And one of these doctors that I'd read this morning about it, he said, it is evident and proven by science that we are made to contact a supernatural being. But you realize when an atheist or an agnostic, when they will sit and meditate, they don't believe in God, of course, so they don't pray, but they sit and meditate, they inject them with the radioactive dye, do the MRI on them, absolutely no change whatsoever in their brain. None. But they'll do a person, they'll inject the dye, they'll take a picture before they pray, a picture while they're praying, and you can see all this activity moving inside of the brain, totally changing them. But an atheist, they just sit there and they meditate and think about their cars, think about what they're going to eat, think about whatever, and it has no effect whatsoever on their brain. It's going to change our whole body one of these days. It's changing us now. Praise the Lord. But it's going to really change us. God bless you. So appreciate the service tonight. Come looking forward to the service this weekend. I believe the Lord's got some really good things for us. Let's sing together. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God. Oh, think about it. Moses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me. Jesus tells me His own, and the joy, yes, Lord God, as we tarry there, another as ever. Let's sing it again as we go. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. For He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I, yes, Lord Jesus, and the joy we, He and I both together, as we tarry there. None other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of His voice is so sweet, the birds hush their and the melody of glory that He gave to me, yes, Lord, is in my yes, Lord God. And she walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me, as a man would talk to his friend, his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there. Another as ever. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. Whoa.